What is up, my kings and queens and all in between? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. Welcome back. Thank you so much for returning. This is your one-stop shop place for all things balancing creativity, spirituality, while being an entrepreneur. And today, I have an amazing special guest. If you're watching, you can already see their hands on face right now. I'm really excited to introduce them to you. But before I do that, I have some homework for y'all. You already know, if you love this episode, share with somebody that you love as well. Give us the thumbs up, the ratings, the reviews. That song you just heard is called Mi Corazon. You can download wherever you stream your music, written by myself, produced by Aaron McLendon. And so here we are. We have Jay Brandon, everybody. Let's give it up. Welcome, welcome, Jay Brandon.
Hello, hello. How are
you?
Cool?
You look amazing. So handsome.
Oh, thank
the skin,
you.
Glowing. Wardrobe.
Listen, it's all by itself.
I can tell, but let me give you a little bit of bio. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, cool. So you guys, Jay Brandon Correa is a New York City based makeup artist and has been involved in the world of art, fashion, and makeup since his childhood. Being the son of a former model and the grandson of a celebrity caricature artist, I did not know that. Good taste, vibrant colors, and creativity has always been surrounded around him. With over 18 years of experience, Jay Brandon has been a key makeup artist for New York Fashion Week, has had the opportunity to provide artistry for a variety of professional and celebrity clientele, including, but not limited to, Lil Nas X. Hey, we share this client as well, Cree Summer. I love
Yay!
Her. Nikki Glaser, who we're obsessed with. So cool. Jennifer Lewis, MTV, and US Weekly. Notably, his work has been featured on the covers of magazines and billboards across the country, including Times Square, New York City. Currently, he is the national makeup artist and manager of artistry for Yves Saint Laurent Beauté, where he provides artistry and makeup direction for national campaigns and works as a beauty contributor for Vogue, Allure, InStyle, and more. Welcome, welcome, Jay Brandon. How are you?
Thank you. I am doing great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to talk to you. We've been chatting on the IG and the DMs, but haven't formally met. So this is our first interaction live. And if you guys are listening, thank you so much. But if you're not watching, go to the YouTube and you can watch us too. You can got to see that beautiful face. Come on. But how does it feel to hear a little bit of your bio and your accomplishments? I'm so proud of you, by the way. Congratulations.
Oh, thank
You've done so much. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, it's really interesting because it's been this sort of whirlwind of a career. I started out as an actor and, you know, I realized very quickly early on in my acting career that like, that was just not what I wanted to do. And so, you know, I really like sat down and I thought with myself, I said, all right, if I were to, let's say, you know, make it into this world, would I want to see myself on the cover of a magazine or would I want to see my work on the cover of a magazine? And from that moment, I decided I want to see my work. I want to see my work. And so I just kept pushing in this direction. And, you know, looking back and everything that I have done, I just, there's a lot of things that I never thought I was going to be able to do. You know, stepping into like a Sephora or, you know, Macy's Herald Square, like biggest Macy's, and like seeing work that I've either been a makeup director on or work that I've actually done, it's mind-boggling. And it's really humbling to like be able to see that and be like, whoa, this is happening. So it's a really cool experience, I would say. Yeah.
It's iconic. Come on, representation. I love it. You're kind of like checking off all the boxes. And I love that you took this actor experience and was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to take that risk, but that's not for me. You know, I commend you to like, you know, step out of the box and do something different. Right. But what a good opportunity to realize in reflection of, I don't want to be in front of the camera, maybe for something like this, for a podcast, but but I want to be behind the camera and have the work speak for itself and be known for making others feel better about themselves, essentially, because that's kind of like what you're doing. But
exactly.
And I am sure as an actor, you had to style step and coordinate your personality and charisma as we do as makeup artists and other artists in general. Like you have to pivot and adapt to your environment. So I'm sure those experiences have helped you throughout your journey. But can we go a little bit back in time and rewind?
Yeah.
How was little baby Jay Brandon and where are you from? Where did you grow up? Were you always as creative?
I would say so. I'm originally from Connecticut. I lived in New York though since 2003. And I've always been interested in art. I've always been interested in creativity. I've always been interested in sort of expressing yourself, if you will. And you know, my older brother, he is a really amazing artist. I mean, like
That's
top
cool.
notch, top tier.
What kind of art?
See, he draws a lot of like cars. He actually designs like little toy cars and like he builds them from
Nice.
scratch. It's like a whole thing.
I
And I
love
remember when I
that.
was little, I would make him draw things for me and I'd bring them into school and I would show everyone like that I drew it. I'd be like,
Oh.
look at this. And one day he literally said to me, no. And I said, what do you mean? I told this girl I was going to bring her a picture of Mickey Mouse. And he's like, well, you're going to draw it. And he sat me down. And I had to have been, honestly, I think I might have been in like fourth grade around there. He sat me down with a pen and a piece of paper and he was like, you're not going to get up until you finish drawing this.
Yeah.
So I worked really hard and then I realized, oh my gosh, I can actually draw. I have some type of
Yeah.
artistic talent. And as you mentioned prior, my grandfather was a celebrity caricature artist. He passed away a couple of years
So
ago,
dope.
but
Oh, I'm sorry for your
the
loss.
it's okay, thank you. But I tell you, it was the absolute coolest thing ever because we would, anytime we would go to my grandparents' house, he would have like photocopies of all of his caricatures that he did. And we would like, and he'd give us like highlighters and we would color them and just like, it was really exciting. And so, you know, I am happy that I've been able to sort of like meld this world of art and also beauty into one. And I really think that makeup was the one. So I've always been curious. I've always been interested in like just expressing yourself and really trying to get out there. I think, you know, a lot of times when you're young, you are exposed to certain different things in school. And I was exposed to theater, and that was like the first creative outlet that I really felt comfortable in. So then I went for it. But then afterwards, you know, after like going through college, and I went to school for acting and everything, I was like I said, you know, this wasn't for me. But all of those skills, everything that I pulled in, it was really helpful for me as now, especially as a national makeup artist, to be able to speak to a bunch of people. You can throw me in any room and I'm the type of person that I will definitely make you as a friend. You know, so
Yes.
it's been a really cool, exciting journey. So always been creative, always been excited, always really wanted to express myself in some sort of artistic way.
Yeah, you have this really cool energy of your about yourself and just this warm light that makes you
Thank
it draws you in. So it's I can see that, you know, charismatic essence that people are drawn to. So, and it sounds like you were just it was inevitable, like you had created creativity around you. And mentorship at such a young age, your older brother saying, "Nah, I got you. Like, I'm gonna hold you accountable, give you the work to do, and you're gonna actually see and grow from yourself." And then to have someone as a mentor, not only as a mentor, but as like an icon and a muse, the grandfather of the caricature of it all, and to have that like celebrityness already at such a young age and be exposed to that, I think is so cool to see what you could be. So it's kind of like in your blood already to be creative, to be in front of people and to just inspire all. And really that's what Mindful Artistry is about in this podcast, is to help others really also can pursue their dreams and follow their passions. You just
I
got to
love
have
that.
that one person that kind of believes in you, that mentors you, and you got to take that risk and do the work. You know, it's not just going to happen overnight, because it didn't happen overnight for you, right?
No, I mean, as much as I wish it did not. It's, you know, I've been doing makeup for, gosh, I close to 19 years,
Yeah.
and it's been a journey. It's you know, there
Yeah.
was times where I was like, I don't know if this is it for me, you know, but you really have to just stick at it and really work. And every space that I went into, I really thought to myself, what am I going to learn in this space? And sort of once I got to a point where I felt like I learned it and I really understood and I was, you know, maybe adopting a different technique or maybe understanding something from a different perspective, I was then like, okay, now what's the next step? And then I always just kept it going. You know, I'm a really big believer in manifesting. I'm a big
Yeah.
believer in everything happens for a reason. But one of my favorite things to do is to look at who I want to be, right?
Yeah.
And I'll look at that version of Jay Brandon and I'll say, what decisions did he make to get there? And then I backtrack to where I am today and I start to make all of my decisions based on what I've sort of gone through. And it can really help kind of direct and bring you directly to your manifestation.
Who taught you
So
that?
it's,
And where did you learn that?
I, as wild as it sounds myself,
That's amazing.
I'm also like, you were asking like how I was as a kid. I was always really introspective. I always really stopped and thought about a lot of stuff and took a second, to like almost take a step outside of myself and look at my situation objectively. I'm a Libra, so I'm a full,
You're all about the
balance and
balance.
scales. Exactly.
Love that.
And I tend to be that person too, like with my friends and my husband, I point because he's over there, who gives that
Shout out to
advice
the
to be
husband
like,
on TV too, by the way.
shut up. It's one of those things that I've just kind of stuck with, and I've really kind of looked at it and seen how it can help my journey, and it's been really helpful.
I love that, like how intellectual and spiritual of for you at such a young age to have that kind of fruition and that intellect to like want to step out of just your zone and look at things in different perspective and see the overall picture. It's, I mean, I think RuPaul talks about it sometimes where, it's kind of like, are we all in this together? Are you
Right.
seeing what I'm seeing? Or you're in this plane and you keep seeing the earth get smaller and smaller and smaller, and you're looking at the overall perspective of like the grander, wider picture and how observations and everything is kind of interconnected in such a way. But how just like spiritual, and this is part of, I feel for me, creativity, spirituality are hand in hand, like they work the same,
Oh,
which is
100
why I
percent.
call it love is art, art is love. And so just how, maybe it's your sign, maybe it's, cause is Libra an earth sign too? I think
It's an air sign.
it is an air sign. And so, I mean, we're all connected, and for you to just have that reflection and be able to, want to say that I want to learn from the past, the present, and then what's to come. Like that's really cool. I commend you for that. Like that.
Thanks.
And I'm
Thank you.
sure you bring that into all parts of your life, whether it's a relationship, career. I mean, would you say that that's kind of like your philosophy in a way?
Absolutely, 100%. The only thing, the only like drawback to it is sometimes I can find myself really getting hung up on like the bigger picture and like the tiny little things that the day to days I kind of like lose sight of sometimes. So
Well,
I have
that's
to
part of the
keep
human experience.
draw.
That's
Yeah, I
valid.
gotta draw myself back so I can make sure I go, okay, wait, I saw that's next step, but how am I gonna get there? And I gotta break it down even further, But I do apply it to everything. I apply it to every aspect of my life, and so far it hasn't failed me, so I'm gonna keep doing
Yeah,
it.
I think you're on the right path. So, any challenges or discoveries that you had where this is not working? I know the acting part was maybe a little bit of that too, but any changes or tribulations that kind of inspired you to, seek out something larger than what was happening at that present moment?
I would say like when I had decided that acting really was not what I was going to do, I was also a hairstylist. And I had gotten an offer right out of so I went to college, went all 4 years, graduated, et cetera. I had like landed a manager. I was like on TV a couple times, did a couple things. But
Work.
I ended up getting I broke my leg and it really, really badly. I was on an ATV. Not sure what I was doing on an ATV, but we were in Vermont with some friends. I was on an ATV. I went over this hill really hard, flipped off of it, broke my leg. And from there, it was sort of like the universe was saying to me, like, you need to get it together and get yourself on the right path. And because I wasn't listening, I think it physically came and stopped me, and was like, you shouldn't do this anymore. So I stopped acting. I ended up losing my job. They fired me. It was like a whole thing. So I really had to have this moment of like, wow, I'm almost like at literal rock bottom. I have to like figure out how I'm going to get out of this. And so, I talked to my mom, and my mom is, she is my number one champion outside of my husband. But she is like my biggest fan, and she and I are very close. And, we had like a really like serious conversation, and I told her, I said, I really think that like I want to get into hair and makeup. I want to like do something. So then I went back to cosmetology school, and after cosmetology school, like while I was in cosmetology school, actually they approached me, and I had already been doing like a little bit of makeup for fun and things like that for friends and whatnot. And they said, hey, listen, you're a makeup artist. And I'm the type of person that I say yes, and then I'll figure it out. So they were like, you're a makeup artist. And I said, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And they were like, would you be
Fake
interested
it
in
to make it.
teaching? Right. They were like, would you be interested in teaching the makeup portion of the school? And I was like, absolutely.
What?
So I ended up, but I mean, it was really basic makeup. It was like basic wedding makeup, things like that, you know, very intro level stuff. But it was there that I realized I had a passion for education. I had a passion for teaching. I had a passion for connecting with people. And then right out of school, I had gotten, not the school, but I had gotten an offer from Warren Trocomi to come and like be an assistant and do hair and all this other stuff. And I was like, love this. Thank you. But do you guys offer makeup? I was like, because I can come and do some makeup for you. And it didn't end up working. And I was just like, oh, and I was like super bummed by it. But then I was on, what was it called? It was like Mandy.com or, you know, like something where you find like little jobs. And I saw this movie, it called Downtown Express, and they were looking for a makeup artist and a hair person and all their stuff. And I was like, okay, this is my moment. This is where I can like step in and really kind of own it and just be something, you know, et cetera. And I got on set. They enjoyed me. We had a great conversation. They pulled me on. I was not getting paid. It was like going to be a 2 month experience, but some of the people on this project were incredible. The director, his name's David Grubin. He's won multiple Emmys. And the head of the art department was this woman, Hillary Rosenfeld, who I'm still very close with her. She was actually the original costume designer on Dirty Dancing, which is the coolest thing. And she literally, when I started, she sat me down and she was like, your work is great. She goes, but I need you to push it even further. And I was like, okay. And it was really exciting. And it was really like a moment, like a make or break moment, because we were filming in the middle of New York City. On a hot, 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 it was in the middle of the summer. It was really hot. It was gross. In a no air conditioned apartment, because, you know, you can't have all those sounds going on for filming. And I had to step into powder, and I had never done it at that point, you know? So I was like, what do I do? Hold. And I just like ran in and I powdered. And then I did it like
last
20
looks,
times.
Last looks.
Exactly. And one of the producers was like, is this guy on payroll? And everyone was like, ooh. And I was like, I'm not on payroll. Oh, I was like, did I do something wrong? And he goes, put him on payroll. He is working really hard. You guys, this is an example. And so then everybody clapped for me. And it was just like a moment where I was like, okay, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be. And so it was just, you know, one of those things where like, I looked back and I was like, where could I have gone if I had stayed being a hair person? You know, what could I have done there? But like, I realized that like, it's doesn't really matter, because that's not where I was supposed to go. I was supposed to get all these other things to bring me into the world of makeup. And through that sort of experience, I really had to think about that challenge in the way of going, did I just waste, you know, this time at this cosmetology school? Did I waste like my mom's money to pay for all this stuff?
No, mom's
You know,
money.
I was like, ooh, you know, but then I really realized that everything was preparing me for where I am today.
Period.
And where I'll be tomorrow, and so on and so forth. So,
love that so much. Definitely a lot of takeaways. I have so many artists that types of artists that listen to this podcast for different reasons. But one of the things that I always like to discuss is, and you talked about it first, that things happen for a reason, and then that you're a believer in manifestation, but also that rock bottom of transformative. It's necessary. It's almost like you have to kind of evolve and retransform yourself, and in order to do that, you got to be broken and you got to fall to like your lowest level, and at that point you're able to climb back up and transform and grow and see your true potential. But that's not going to happen if you're not, you know, believing it, number one, and if you're not putting in the work. And so you did that, you did all that, you followed, you listened to the body, you listened to the universe talking to you, telling you like, no, we're going to reroute you this way. It's not going to happen for you. And your body will physically tell you like, this is wrong. Something is not okay. Like, you will feel ill, you know, like physically. And the fact that you listen to that is great. Power of intuition is amazing as well. So you guys listen to those moments that, you know, really resonate and that stand out, that it's going to be all right. You just got to trust that process, have patience, be kind to yourself, have grace for yourself, and know that the time will come when you are ready. Being open-minded to the universe is key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I want to say too that like not everybody's rock bottom is the same. You know, I talked to my husband absolutely. About this a lot, and how it's, you know, a lot of people say like, don't compare yourself to other people, don't compare yourself to other people, but like, you really don't can't compare yourself to other people. Everyone's path is going to be different, and everyone's rock bottom is going to be different. And you know, sometimes you really do have to take a step back to take a step forward. You know, there's been a couple of times in my career where I've decided, you know, let me go with a lower paying job because I know that it's going to give me a more like a stronger opportunity. And it's paid off, you know, and yes, there is a portion of it that's gambling. There is a portion of it that's like really going with it. But if you really take a second and really consult yourself, consult the universe, however you decide to do that, and understand that like the direction you're moving in is the right direction, or it's not the right direction. And you, and I always tell people, you know this by just knowing. And I know that sounds weird, but like, it's sort of like, if I were to say to you, Andrew, you know, go home, go grab a cup of water, you would know inherently where your home is, where the water is, where the cup is, all of those things. You're not guessing. You're not wondering if those things exist. You know they exist. And that type of feeling of knowing is what I'm talking about when you consult the universe and really understand like what's happening. And it's not easy. It's not easy. It's a journey. It's a process. But once you get to that level of knowing, it's there's no stopping you. You just keep going.
Yeah, I have also noticed it. Thank you for sharing that. I have noticed it in a series of threes from my experience. And
yes,
I don't know if it's people see it in numbers, people see it in signs, people hear it. It can happen in different sensory modes. For me, I've heard it. So it was audio. And I physically saw people telling me like literally, and in my brain too, when I would like wake up right before, you know, sleep, and then before I'm actually like awake, and there's always use your voice, use your voice, use your voice. I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm reading the signs now.
Right.
And so whatever those signs are happening around you, that's repetitive and is resonating with you, pay attention to it, write it down. Yes. It might not make sense at that moment. This is why I'm a fan of journaling, because you might look back and reflect and see, oh, that's what that was supposed to be. This is connected for something else. But, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I wanted to ask, this is my, how are you going to love somebody else if you can't love yourself first section. What's your self-care regimen? Because you're gorgeous and your skin's stunning. Do you take time for yourself selfishly before you service others? And do you have any beauty skincare routine that you want to share with us?
Sure. I mean, I would say honestly, like selfishly, my beauty skincare routine is self-care. And you know, I get ready every single day.
Period.
And even if I don't put any makeup on, I will 100% do a full skincare moment, because I really truly feel like when you're doing skincare, when you're doing makeup, it should feel exciting. It should be a beautiful, fun, almost spa-like experience. So I sit there and I go, there's all types of things.
Yeah.
My skincare regimen is out of control. First and foremost, I use a lot of YSL. You know, the brand has such beautiful, beautiful, beautiful skincare, that I really feel like is a little bit unsung. Not a lot of people know that YSL even has skincare. And a lot of people think like, oh, you're just paying for the name, et cetera, but you're really not. Some of the things that I use. So for instance, one of the main things that I use is from our line called Eau Rouge. And it's this beautiful saffron infused formulas. And saffron is like the biggest anti-ager that exists on the market, you know, naturally anyways, outside of like Botox, if you will.
Thousands of years ago too.
Right. And it's just one of those things that I literally saw a transformation in my skin when I started using it. So now every single day on my clients, I do the same type of skin prep that I use on my clients for myself. Because I look at my work and I go, wow, their skin looks incredible. They look so good. I want to look like that. So I try to do the same thing for myself. And so my routine has mostly just been a lot of skincare with Eau Rouge. There are some other skincare things I throw in there from time to time. I do a lot of overnight masks, you know, things like that, just to make sure my skin is super hydrated. And then makeup wise, I just a lot of concealer. A lot of concealer, a little bit of powder,
Mm-hmm.
call it a day. So, you know, those are those moments though that like I really take to myself and I'm looking in the mirror. And I will say for anybody listening or anybody watching, you have to really get comfortable looking at yourself if you are a makeup artist, I think, or any type of artist, really get comfortable with looking at your work, because when you're doing it, you can start to see little tips and tricks that you're coming up with on your own and really kind of, you know, navigating that whole experience and making yourself feel positive about it. And then right when you're done with that, you can go and do the same type of experience for a client and make sure that they feel and look their best. And you know, you're always going to win. So that's how I try to stay
Love
selfish with my
that.
routine.
Great. I mean, that's the way to do it because how are you going to be of service to others if you haven't taken care of yourself first and you're practicing what you preach, you're holding yourself accountable. And it's nice for you to practice that on your own and see how it's going to feel when eventually your hands are performing it on your guests as well. So I love that you do that. Thank you for sharing that. I
Absolutely.
call this section the Love is Art, Art is Love section. And I wanted to know, Jay Brandon, do you have any practice or routines that you have placed to nurture your creativity and spirituality while running your business?
Ooh, yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I would say, you know, spiritually, I grew up with my mom having like visions, and so whoever, if you're skeptical out there, it's fine. But I grew up with that. I grew up with my mom like reading tarot cards and honestly like being very open and very spiritual. And conversely, I also grew up, and I say that because I've known my husband since I was 13 years old. I've grown up with his parents being really religious, really Catholic. And you know, like literally, like I don't know if you can see, I have a little Our Lady
Yeah,
Guadalupe right
Virgin
here.
Mary.
Yeah, and it's one of those things to me that like I believe that whatever, you know, power exists, that it's big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to kind of encompass everybody. So like everybody and everybody's beliefs and everything like that. So I tend to take a moment, and I will like flip over a tarot card because I will say tarot is not my vehicle of choice. I usually do a little bit more palmistry. But I tend to take a second to really kind of reflect. Sometimes I feel like if I have a rut or if I'm stuck somewhere, I will definitely consult the cards and just see where I can go, what kind of direction it's going to give. And you know, I try to keep that as like a consistent practice. I tend to light a lot of candles just to make
We can
sure I'm
never have
getting a little bit more
enough.
focused. Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are all things that I try to do to stay spiritual. I read a lot, and I read a lot of things that will, you know, really kind of provoke a little bit of spiritual thinking. And you know, I ask a
Love
lot of
that.
questions. I talk to a lot of people. I like to understand. I'm a true like knowledge seeker. Like I really love learning. And I'm one of those people that like I never know everything. There's no way I possibly could. So that, you know, that's another like real super selfish kind of thing. I'm just like, tell me more. Tell me everything. And I absorb it all. So yeah.
That's
So those are the things
beautiful.
that I try to do.
So cool. Thank you. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've had some artists that literally use tarot cards. I've had some artists that use words of affirmation cards. And I've had some artists that, you know, just kind of go off of just energetically what they experience with the other individual and the act that exchange. So yeah, there aren't any rules to being spiritual or creative. For me, like I've always said, they work hand in hand. That's why I wrote Love is Art, Art is Love. And I created the artwork based off of Loteria cards, which is kind of remnants of tarot cards in a sense too. So they're all related. We're all just connected in some degree. But thank you for sharing that. So any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs like yourself looking to incorporate more creativity and spirituality into their work?
Yes, one of my main things is find an artist out there in whatever, you know, genre it is that you're working in, someone that you look at and you love their work. And give yourself like two or
Love
three.
that.
Really find a person out there that you're like, "Ooh, I love what they're doing," and see how you can sort of emulate some of that work in your ownness. I think a lot of times, you know, we get stuck as artists trying to be so original and trying to come up with brand new things that sometimes you have to kind of learn the basics. Not sometimes, always. You have to learn the basics in order to kind of break out of that. So find an artist that you are obsessed with, try to emulate their work. And then I would say after that, reach out to them, talk to them. I know people reach out to me all the time and I'm happy, but come talk to me. Yeah, no, I will. If I can give you any type of direction or anything, because I didn't really have a lot of it in the makeup world, like I would go ahead and just, you know, help as much as I can. But the thing is, though, is you have to be open to honest feedback. I think that's the third thing, really, or the fourth thing, really. So find an artist, emulate their work, try to talk to them, and be open for honest feedback. And
Love
I think, honestly, that will take creativity to the next level, and it'll allow you, in turn, to be so creative on your own. So
we're creating this renaissance of artistry. That's what's happening, y'all. It's we're making an impact. It's shifting and moving. I feel it. I feel this crowned community of beautiful lights and souls just uplifting others, and we got to keep that momentum going. So thank you for sharing that. So at this point, you've been published, you've worked with celebrities, your portfolio is spectacular, you're a national makeup artist, educate, you know, the nation. So at this point, how do you measure success in both your creative and entrepreneurial pursuits? Do they overlap in any way?
I think they definitely overlap 100%. Anything that I'm doing that I can come home at the end of the day and tell my husband about it and be super proud of it, and to see he's really proud of me as well, is truly how I measure success. I also think about what I think of it as well, of course, you know, because success for everyone is going to be completely different, because right now, like I'm not at the end of my journey. Like we're still going, we're still growing, we're still getting into other things. But I know for some people out there, where I am today is their journey. And that's okay, you know, and I think that a lot of times with being, you know, creative and being an entrepreneur and sort of like checking back to say, like, where am I going? What is the success looking like? You know, am I upset because I didn't get exactly where I want to be, et cetera? I think sometimes you just have to stop, look back at who you were 5 years ago. And I will tell you, the J. Brandon 5 years ago, if I said, hey, you're going to be a national makeup artist for a major luxury brand, you're going to be a guest on a podcast, like things like that, I would be like, oh, you're kidding with me. You're joking, right? But that J. Brandon would kill to be this J. Brandon today. And I know the J. Brandon that I will be in 5 years from now, I would kill to be that person, you know? So I really just kind of measure, and this is, for me, it works, but I measure success on the past and where I've come from. And if it's just something that I can be really proud of and can be really happy to share with those around me, especially my loved ones.
Yeah. So it's reflection, it's your current home, and it's really just making baby J. Brandon proud, you know, and letting them know that they're going to be all right, and just to trust the journey as it's happening right then there in front of you. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That was so cool. Yeah. All right. So you guys, for season two, Mindful Artist Podcast, we have one of my favorite segments.
The library is open! Yeah. Because reading is what?
Fundamental!
There you have it, darling.
And this is called The Library is Open. And this is a spotlight opportunity for our guests to share a book they're currently reading or their favorite book from the past. This is not to share shade. This is to share light. And what are your top three reasons why? So go for it. What is your book?
So my book that I'm absolutely obsessed with is American Gods by Neil Gaiman. It's such a fantastic read. It's really funny, though, because when I was looking at this, I was like, oh, there's so many books I could say, because when I say I'm a reader, I'm like, my mom wanted my like first screen name on AOL back in the day to be Avid Reader. It was a mess.
Cute.
I just, you know, that book, American Gods, it's so cleverly written, because basically like every chapter starts with a vignette of a different old world type of god or goddess or some type of, you know, mythical being like a genie, things like that, and how they're sort of existing in current society today. And they're sort of fading because people are not believing. And then you have this like juxtaposition of technology that's becoming sort of the new gods, if you will, because, you know, if I leave the house without my phone, I can't do anything. I'm so like dependent on it. So it's really cool because it really allows you to kind of take the old in with the new and start to reflect and start to kind of look at things a little bit differently. But there's also like a really cool, you know, like fictiony storyline that happens throughout with like the main characters and things like that. It's just one of the best books I could ever recommend for anyone. And Neil Gaiman himself is probably one of the best authors. He's one of my favorites. So I love,
so
love, love that
cool.
book.
American Gods by Neil Gaiman. Okay, cool. I'll put that in the description. I love that. And hearing about other artists that look to literature to, you know, stimulate their brain. I think it's so necessary for us to just, I mean, I forever have said that I will always be a student to the University of Mother Nature, and that is my religion. So for me, literature and feeding the brain is part of that. So on my bedside, both my husband and I just have like our go-to books that we're reading like two or three at least a month to just, you know, stimulate the brain. And some are for fun, some are for fantasies, but some are, you know, self-help, and some are just sci-fi. So it just really depends on where I'm at. I would say currently I'm really into the Flamin' Hot Cheeto book. I know it's about the creator who was a janitor. And if you haven't seen this film, one of my first guests, Jesse Garcia, stars as lead actor on the Disney Channel and Hulu Plus. It's called Flamin' Hot. And it's about the janitor that worked at the Flamin' Hot studios and literally created Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So I'm reading his book right now, and it's really inspiring.
That's cool.
I love hearing his struggles and his journey on just, you know, creating a voice for his culture, but also bringing in all the things that he was passionate about, and that was his family, and just elevating his overall, you know,
Cool.
So yeah, that's the current one that I'm reading. So thank you for sharing that. I love this. I feel like I know you. I know I don't. I've just met you, but and then we share our beautiful Cree summer. How fun was she? I can't.
It's never worked. That's exactly right.
It's like an old really soul funny. Girlfriend that you've had for like ever. You know.
Yeah, she and literally just texts me right now.
Yeah.
Because I did her makeup earlier today.
I saw. She looked stunning. Good job.
Oh, thank you. I mean, she's beautiful. So you could slap her and it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, she working with her is one of the biggest dreams of mine ever to come true. Ever since I was a very young kid, I've always loved her in a different world. Of course, but then, you know, when I got into acting, I really want, music is incredible. I had wanted to be a voiceover actor actually for a little while.
Yeah.
And I was looking up to her a lot and I was studying her a lot
She's
and
queen.
All that stuff. And it just, the universe said, here you go. You can go ahead and meet her and have a good time.
Yeah.
And now I'm in love and it's the best.
Yeah. I'm so grateful. It feels good to know that people that I love like her are with people that are so loving like you. And it's just this beautiful, you know, fruition of we're all meant to be like and cross each other's lives and inspire everybody. And you just got to believe that and keep that momentum going. So thank you so much. I've loved this. So I have this final segment that's called Wrapping Up Mindful Artists Rapid Cues. It's just three random questions wherever you are intuitively. If you just want to answer it, don't think about it too hard. So, all right, Jay Brennan, question number one, who is your hero and why?
My hero and why? I would say my mother. She has survived a lot, and is a very resilient human being. And you know, from an early age, she used to be a model, and from an early age, outside of just being physically beautiful, her presence was always super beautiful. So, you know, she was a single mom, you know, I had two older brothers. So she's gone through a lot, and just seeing her really like survive and really make it work, and especially to make it work for myself and my brothers. That to me is like, I'm like, she is top level hero for sure.
Oh, I love that. What's her name?
Diane.
Diane, shout out to Diane. We love a good mama here. And how many siblings do you have and where do you fit in that?
I have two older brothers, and I also have a younger half sister. And it's great because I mean I grew up with
like the
my two older brothers, and I was the baby for a very long time. And then my dad had a second child or had another child, And it's been great too, because like I say half sister, but she's my sister.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, and we've just embraced her, obviously. And it's just like, it's just a great time to siblings.
How beautiful.
We're always like very, very close.
Yeah, cool. Good job. All right. Question number two, wrapping up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. What is your favorite music album of all time and why? I'm talking like Deserted Island, One Disc Man, One CD.
Oh, wow.
What are you going to listen to from track one to 13?
I would say, honestly, Cake, Motor Creative Generosity. That's one of my favorite
C-A-K-E? Albums
ever. Yeah, Cake, like the cake you're eating. People know them for their song Long Skirt, Short Jacket, or Long Skirt, whatever. But like they're kind of like a, I don't even know how to explain them, but I'm absolutely obsessed with them. You remember that show MTV's Fanatic?
Mm-hmm.
I once wrote in to try to like get to meet them.
I've never heard of Cake. What would the genre be?
You know, it's sort of like their later stuff, like more recent stuff, is kind of like encroaching on country a little bit, but it's not really country at all. It's
folk.
Yeah, like kind of folky, but it's but like, you know, there's trumpets, it's
like a Florence and the Machine kind of vibe.
Yeah, you know, it's like a very cool type of interesting music that I've just loved since I was a kid, and I still stick with it.
That's typically where artists kind of go back to, or creative people in general. They what inspired them when they were in their adolescence, and you know, that baby mind that shapes them. So cool. All right, Cake. You guys heard it from Jay Brandon. Let's check out Cake, because I've never heard of them. So, and I love learning about new music too. Yeah, and I think music hand in hand is spiritual with your craft. So that's why I always bring that up. Awesome. All right, final question for wrapping up my Fortis Rapid Cues, and that is, what is your favorite quote of all time?
Oh my gosh, that's a good one. Favorite quote of all time. I mean, I know, actually. Robert Frost, The Road Less Traveled, Two Roads of Virginia Ellwood, Sorry It Cannot Be One Traveler, Travel One, Long I Stood, and Peered on One as Far as I Could to Where It Bent in the Undergrowth. That whole poem something that really inspired me when I was younger, because it taught me that like I can take the road less traveled and it's okay, because I can still be myself. I can still, you know, get to my destination, but it doesn't have to be the cookie cutter route. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that's already been paved for me. And so I think that's something that I hold true, because, you know, everything in my life, everything in my career, I'm really trying to push hard to pioneer and to, you know, really look at other people that are doing it and like see how I can pioneer alongside. So definitely that entire poem is my favorite quote.
And what was the author's name again? Robert
Frost.
Thank you. Wow, love that. Super cool. You guys, Jay Brandon in the house. Where can we follow you? Where can we support you and follow your craft and anything that you want to plug? This is your opportunity.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. This has been really such a really fun experience. And I just love what you're doing with your platform and really highlighting this, you know, different artists and different.
We
got
to do it. We have to do it, right? It's the time. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. But anyone can follow me on Instagram at GlossBossJ. I'm also on TikTok. I'm not on there as much, but definitely Instagram is the way to go. And send me a DM, because I will follow you back and we can chat about makeup. We can talk about anything. I like to open that up to really everybody, because again, I like to share knowledge. I'm not a gatekeeper. GlossBossJ on Instagram.
This is why you're part of my Crowns community, Jay Brandon. Thank you so much. You guys,
thank you.
Another one-stop shop for all things mindfulness, creativity, while being spiritual and an entrepreneur. Thank you so much for being here. If you are an entrepreneur yourself and you want to be a guest, you can email me at mindfulartistpodcast@gmail.com. That song you're about to hear is called Mi Corazon. You can download it wherever you stream your favorite music, written by myself, produced by Aaron McLendon. Make sure that you give us those thumbs up, the hearts, the reviews, share it with somebody that you love. Go out there, make an impact in somebody's life. Until the next time, stay creative, you guys. Thank you. Much love and light. Bye, Jay Brandon.
Bye.